EMF camp, electromagnetic field. And I'm stood with Hannah Nicklin, who's just done a piece on Stage B. And the piece was entitled...
Where Games Break.
And you enticed many of the geeks and coders and hackers from EMF camp into there, possibly thinking it was somehow a talk that was going to help them with their breaking games and how to stop them.
I'm not sure that's necessarily what I intended. Actually, that's why I called it Where Games Break rather than How Games Break, because I was talking specifically about game design rather than development, although I hope it would be of interest to a developer as well as a designer.
How do you feel it went, and can you give a brief synopsis?
Everyone was really lovely. It was a really attentive audience. Some people came in and like halfway through and stayed the whole way, and everyone seemed to be quiet and paying attention to me, which is just really lovely. It's really lovely when people give you their time and their attention. It's a real gift. It's a talk that identifies 9 ways in which games have broken for me in personal, political, and important ways. And I talk about different ways that games break. So I talk about the way we choose to break games, like when we're playing as kids, or when we're playing as a game designer, and we stop and say, what's a better rule right now? What makes this more fun or harder to do, or all those kinds of things. I talk about the way that games break when they are broken for you. So games that make gendered, cultural, or controller literacy assumptions. That's a really big one that I have a thing about. Like, for example, my mum absolutely loves playing Kentucky Route Zero because it's a point-and-click game, but you give her anything that involves a console and she never learnt that language. So that's a barrier for her. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to make everything super accessible, but you at least need to understand the material of the interface that you're working with and why you make those decisions. And then I also talk about ways that games can break where they're supposed to, where they come into contact with the real world. I talk about games as a what if in a world of what is, and when they come into contention, they can break in ways which are political or revealing about you and how you exist in the world, because games are systems. There are ways of playing a microsystem. There are ways of seeing how you are implicated in systems and how others are affected by the decisions that you make in them, how we are interconnected. The world is also a system, and we can look at the world as a system in play in the microcosm of games. So they can be really powerfully political things. If you think about the politics as a practice, something you do, as opposed to something that is some rules. It's rules in play, not rules written down. And that's some of the ways that games break.
And the political slant plays quite heavily in your own personal game and seriousness of life, especially in your studies. There was a gasp, an audible gasp, when you announced what your PhD was in. What's it in again?
Oh, it's not the title that is actually written down on it, but it is loosely speaking looking at games influenced theatre as a manner of bringing down capitalism.
But it was like, a happy gasp from everybody.
Yeah, I know. It was a receptive crowd to that basic concept. And I say it particularly for the gasp in that way. I mean, it was just looking at how contemporary digital culture, because our culture is digitally influenced now, it's infused with the digital, it's making the messages we receive and exchange about the world, the way that happens is changing. They are more integral. We carry devices around with us every day. Brands are becoming personal. People are becoming brands. The influences that what you might call capitalism, but you might just call people who want to sell you shit or people who want to affect the way that you think, the way that those messages are being exchanged and the trust we have less and less of word that is written down on the internet, all of those things are incredibly problematic, and we need to, as a society, come to a way of understanding those things and developing a literacy that... I believe that media studies as a course is so put down by a lot of people because that's the worst thing that for people in power that people could do is become digital media literate. That's what I mean by capitalism. I kind of mean the world we exist in and the way that power seeks to influence us. That's a system in play in which we are increasingly implicated. It's a larger and larger system. It's harder to see where the edges are. When a television was in front of you and you saw some advertising, you go, well, that's a bit of advertising. When you're at school and a friend tells you that their favourite drink is Coca-Cola, how do you know they're not a brand ambassador, necessarily? It's that kind of thing. So that's why I think games can be, and I'm not saying that they will solve everything, but that's why games are an interesting thing, because they do play with systems and how they affect our lives, and they can rub up against real life. I've done a beautiful sound walk once, which takes the city around you, but you plug your headphones in and you press play, and a different story is wrapped around you. And you see suddenly how subjective reality can be, and that it's a thing that we co-create. So you can choose to step out of some of these things sometimes. And then finally, I'm also interested in games as a way of understanding how we relate to other people and how we affect them. Because like 30, 40 years ago, Marshall McLuhan used the term global village for the first time. Global village is a great idea, but actually it's really hard to fit into our head all of those people. If we had to believe at the same time that all of those people were as complex and human people as ourselves, our brains, I believe, would just collapse. That's a really hard thing to do. So we tell ourselves stories about other people. But what games can allow us is to experiment with stories about ourselves and about other people. And that's a really powerful thing in a world where I think empathy is becoming in short supply.
Fascinating environments in which to play in. And are you choosing the environments carefully when it comes to sharing and performing and talking? I mean, right now, as I walk through the car park towards this particular camp, there were drones in the sky. We've just had a duck the size of a car drive past us. Another motorised thing, I didn't know what it was doing. There's the clanking of what appears to be hammers on anvils.
Yeah, blacksmithing.
Yeah, it is a wonderful, wonderful environment. And where have you been similar to this? Why choose this place, and where next?
Because I was asked to come here by Jonty and another guy, probably Teff, I think. I did this talk at a place called Feral Vector, which is a brilliant indie-ish, games-ish conference. I think David Hayward, who runs it, doesn't want to just call it indie games now, but I can't remember the words he's using otherwise. But that's a really lovely indie games conference, which is a safe space explicitly, and has a really good variety of interesting people talking about interesting things. And he asked me if I wanted to write something for it, and I had a think, and I decided that this was a nice thing to do, and then a couple of friends let me bounce the ideas back and forth with them. So really, I'm here because someone saw that talk.
Nice.
And then said, well, can you come do it at our festival? I'll happily continue doing it forever, whoever wants it. These ideas exist in my PhD, which no one will ever read, which is totally fair. So it'd be nice to, like, turn that into a book or something.
Why don't you turn it into a game?
Into a game? Well, because being a game designer, it's good to understand when games aren't the right context to express an idea. And, you know, sometimes you need to be analytical and sometimes you need to be immersed in a thing, and those are different useful things.
I see you immersed in analytics though.
That's like the worst dad joke.
Exactly. Well, I've got to get one in there.
You're the master of dad jokes, Christian. Yeah, well, you really are.
I've been practicing years now. Well, there is so much to see outside whilst it's still light. I might have a look at what is being anviled. I notice people drinking beverages.
Yeah.
Well, it's a festival.
That's legit what I'm going to do right now. I've finished my talk. Yeah.
Well earned. Where can people find you online?
It's my name, Hannah, spelt with an H, Nicklin. And if you just, like, put that into Google, there's only two of us in the country, and the other girl's a bit younger, so I got all of the online real estate. So in the first 10 pages of Google, if you just Google Hannah Nicklin.
You own yourself. Wonderful.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
It's nice.